really?
Lifelong disappointment, really.
You've not been on a show where you've had access to newsreaders, obviously.
Oh, well, not quite close enough, obviously, but he certainly did. I think that certainly there's a lot of me.
In 1973.
LBC 1152, celebrating 25 years of commercial radio.
Complete news and information for London. 1152 AM, this is LBC.
It's 4 o'clock. Good afternoon, I'm Chandri Kachevli. Today's cut in interest rates by the Bank of England has been welcomed by homeowners and the business community. The cost of borrowing is down by 0.25% to 7.25%. It's the first cut for over 2 years. The moves received mixed criticism from city workers.
Very good news, I think.
I would have preferred about 0.5%. I think that's really what industry required.
I think it was expected, really. I couldn't see it being any larger than that. But I don't think it's enough. I think it needs to be followed by another one fairly soon.
It should have been at least half. It's going to take so long to come through. They're going to have to cut it again later on, aren't they? Next month or the month after, so it's a vicious circle.
I think it needs to be a longer term. The markets need to settle down a bit.
As a mortgage owner, I'm quite pleased to hear that.
It may kickstart a couple of things, but I think overall it's probably not going to have a dramatic impact unless the worldwide economy picks up.
Long time coming. I think industry needs a bit of a kickstart.
William Hague is giving his keynote speech to the Tory party conference in Bournemouth. He told delegates they'd shown the country the Tories are ready for a political fight back.
They said that we'd be disheartened. But they hadn't reckoned with the heart and the spirit and the resilience of the people who've travelled to Bournemouth this week. They said we'd run out of ideas. But they hadn't bargained for our lively debates on health, on education, on the Constitution, which have shown our readiness to start the new thinking for the future. They said we'd lost our vitality. You tell Ann Widdecombe we've lost our vitality.
Meanwhile, a Conservative MEP's defected to the Liberal Democrats, saying he can no longer bear to be in a party so hostile towards Europe. The Tories have labelled James Morehouse's move a case of sour grapes because he's been deselected as a candidate for next May's elections. But the London South and Surrey East MEP says he couldn't continue in the party after the overwhelming vote against joining the Euro.
The Bournemouth conference is really the last straw in that particular ballot and the result of that ballot. And we're looking at the Bournemouth conference. I mean, the sort of ovations people got who are Eurosceptics. I felt there was no longer a place for me in the Conservative Party.
The Lynn and Meghan Russell murder trial's been adjourned until Monday. Earlier, the jury watched video footage of the sole survivor, Josie. The injured child used a basic form of sign language to communicate with police officers as she recounted details of the attack. Josie, who was just 9 at the time of the killings, used models of her family to reenact the incident. Michael Stone denies 2 counts of murder and 1 of attempted murder. More tough words are being aimed at the Serbians ahead of a summit in London this evening to discuss the crisis in Kosovo. US Secretary of State Madeleine Albright warns just days remain for troops to be pulled out of the province. She says time's running out for Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic.
Time and again, Milosevic has promised us to do things he had no intention of doing. Time and again, he has taken half measures to avoid the consequences of action.
A Surrey company's welcomed news that 4 of its employees taken hostage in Chechnya are alive and well. Sources in Russia say the 3 Britons and a New Zealander are safe. They say their captors haven't yet contacted authorities. A spokesman for Grainger Telecom, who sent the workers to Chechnya, says it's very good news. It comes as new evidence shows kidnappings for ransom have reached record levels around the world. LBC Sport, and in tennis, Great Britain and the United States will meet in the opening round of next year's Davis Cup. It'll be played in the UK, although the venue and surface have yet to be decided. Former Wimbledon champion Stefan Edberg made the draw and says it won't be easy for Henman and Rosetsky.
It's a very tough tie. Great Britain playing at home. It should create some excitement. It really should. And, you know, hopefully Pete and Andre and the best players will come and play. And then it's going to be a great tie, whatever happens.
And in football, Vinnie Jones will be interviewed for the vacant job of manager at Queen's Park Rangers this week. It was originally thought the Welsh international had been overlooked for the post of caretaker boss following the departure of Ray Harford. But a statement from the club today says both Jones and current caretaker manager Ian Dowie are both still in the running. The club expect to have a new man at the helm by the time they play Huddersfield on October the 17th. And there's more LBC Sport in half an hour.
LBC Sport with Mossbrot. Formal wear hire guaranteeing the best results.
LBC City News and shares on the move this hour. Lloyds TSB Group are down 26 pence at £5.98. British Telecom are down 38 pence at £6.71. And a short time ago, the FTSE was down 151 points at 46.77. LBC weather for London. This afternoon, there'll be a lot of cloud and a chilly northerly wind. There's the risk of passing showers to the south. The maximum temperatures in central London, 13 degrees Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit, 12 degrees Celsius out of town. Tonight, it'll be generally cloudy and further light showers are likely in the more eastern parts. The minimum temperatures in central London, 9 degrees Celsius, 48 Fahrenheit, 6 degrees Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit out of town.
LBC weather with Great Thorpe Park. Great, whatever the weather.
LBC 1152 News at 5 minutes past four.
LBC Travel.
I'm Jules Wilson at AA Vodafone Roadwatch. A serious accident on the A21 Bromley Road means it's closed both ways between Beckenham Hill Road and Southend Lane. Heavy on the diversion routes now. Stacked up both west and eastbound on the North Circular past Henley's Corner. Roadworks on the A4 Cromwell Road at South Kensington mean it's busy westbound up to Collingham Road. And eastbound queues on the A200 Jamaica Road. That's between the St James's Road roundabout and the Rotherhithe Tunnel. Staying on the A200 Lower Road in Surrey Quays, lights are out at Plough Way, that's in the one-way system. And the A2 Deptford Broadway between Deptford and Blackheath Hill, heavy eastbound heading towards Shooters Hill Road. Further southwest of town, watch out for resurfacing work on the Fulham Road. That's slowing traffic from the Fulham Palace Road and Fulham High Street. And Mollison Avenue in Enfield Lock, lights are out at the junction with Ordnance Road. On the underground, after staffing problems, there's delays running on the East London line. London Travel News, every 15 minutes at drive time on LBC 1152.
The word is Vodafone.
25 years. This is LBC 261. Pass it on.
A very good afternoon. 25 years, eh? I'm Douglas Cameron with you until 7 o'clock on Drive Time here on LBC 1152. In the programme today, interest rates come down, but is it too little too late? Are they getting the views of unions and management? Roger Lyons from the Manufacturing Union, Ruth Lee from the Institute of Directors. William Hague is making his keynote speech to the party faithful in Bournemouth at the moment. When he sits down, Mark Demery, our political editor, will help me analyse it. It's National Poetry Day. I'll be talking to the organiser. There could be shooting stars in the sky tonight. Astronomer Supreme Patrick Moore will explain all. And talking of stars, I'll celebrate LBC's 25th birthday by talking with my old mate, Bob Holness.
If ever I would leave you.
If ever I would leave you. The sensational new album from Glenn Tellman.
I have often won.
Britain's biggest opera star sings 19 unforgettable songs. But from My Fair Lady, Camelot, Brigadoon, and more. If ever I would leave you. From Bryn Terfel. Out now on CD and cassette at W.H. Smith's, Virgin, Sainsbury's, and all good record stores.
LBC.
8.5 minutes past four. Well, we are going to celebrate the 25th birthday of LBC in inimitable way by talking to Bob Holness later. Bob won't be here live, so if you're going to ring, please don't ring and ask to talk to him, because he is in America on business. But he popped in to the Drive Time studio a few days ago, and we had a little chat.
which we're going to play you a recording of at about 4:45. So it was lovely to see him again, although I do see him quite often because we don't live too far apart in northwest London. But somebody rang the station the other day, and they said the only problem with Douglas Cameron is that he will keep talking about news. And the producer who took the call said, well, he does actually present a news program. That could be something to do with it. But today, although we will be discussing the news, and there's plenty of news about, interest rates are down, but is it too little too late? We'll be looking at William Hague's speech when he sits down. He only got up about 3:30, and I gather it's going to be quite a long speech. But anyway, when he does sit down, I'll be discussing it with Mark Demery, our political editor. But we are going to take a little bit of time off in between all the news items to celebrate LBC's 25th birthday. I have been here working for the station for 24 and a half of those 25 years. It's been a great pleasure and a privilege for me. I've been happy to be here, and I hope to some people the feeling is mutual. And I'd like to emulate certainly Steve Allen's wonderful show, which I heard quite a bit of as I was driving down here this morning. And he had a lot of calls from people, and he asked them a very simple question: when did they discover LBC? I think he had one lady who rang him up who said she'd been listening from the very start. And that's going back a good few years, 25 as we now know, because this station, before it came on air, played classical music. It played trade tapes. One or two people were cheeky enough to suggest that was the best part of the station, but fortunately they're in the minority. And so I'd love to hear from anybody who has stuck with LBC through thick and thin, and believe me, there have been some thick and thin bits about the station. I know that personally. I'd like to hear from anybody who certainly started with us way back in 1973 and are still with us. And I'd certainly like to hear from anybody who feels they'd like to ring up and recreate a memory. It doesn't have to be about me or Bob Holness. It can be about Brian Hayes or Charles Golding or Steve Allen or Clive Bull or Jeremy Beadle. Anybody who has worked or is working for the station. So this is the day to share your memories of the 25 years with me, and I do hope you'll take advantage of it. The number, it does keep changing through the 25 years, but it's been stable for a few months now, and it's 0171 412 1152. So by all means, ring up about interest rates, ring up about William Hague, but I'd certainly love to have a few calls on LBC, when you discovered it, and perhaps your fondest memory. 412-1152 is the number, 312-8570 is the fax number, and it's 12 minutes past four.
Join me, James Williams, this Thursday evening from 7 as LBC celebrates 25 years as London's news and information station. As it's Thursday, Paul Russell will have the big movie guide for the weekend, with, of course, all of the big releases to hit the West End. Plus, we're going to look back at the last 25 years in the film world as we talk about the movies and the stars that have seen fame and fortune since LBC launched back in 1973. After 8 o'clock, joining me in conversation will be one of LBC's most popular presenters, Jeremy James Anthony Gibson Beadlebum, or to you and me, of course, Jeremy Beadle, talking about his life, his career, and his memories of presenting Weekend Nightline. And then at 9 o'clock, a special documentary charting the history of this station, LBC. Be with me, James Williams, on the evening of LBC's silver anniversary, this Thursday evening from 7.
What shall I have? Cod chips and peas, steak kidney pie and boiled potatoes, sausage and mash, stewed chicken with peas and rice, curried crab, carrot and sweet potato, conky and a cool glass of Morbi, fried banana and rum sauce.
6 times a week from Heathrow, Biwi gently eases England into the Caribbean. So, if you really want to feel at home, why fly with an airline that's a tourist? Biwi, we are the Caribbean.
If you've ever spent a Saturday night arranging your sock drawer, ever wondered how they got those model ships into those bottles, or ever seen a pair of shoes and thought they look comfy, then you've probably never done this.
Oh, yes, the Fiesta Z-Tech uses Formula One technology and comes with self-correcting rear suspension, power steering and a 16-valve engine to create unbelievable driving dynamics. Not only that, but Z-Techs now come with 0% finance, which all adds up to enough excitement for anyone.
The Fiesta Z-Tech, advanced enjoyment for 9450 on the road.
Subject to availability, minimum deposit 50%, written quotation, Three Post FCE Bank PLC. Finance subject to status, guarantees and indemnities may be required.
Well, it's my first year of business, darling.
At Barclays, we realise that starting your own business is never easy. The key to success lies in planning, particularly in the first few years.
Well done, everyone. Two successful years.
That's why your business banker is not just there to help at the start. They also provide support while you try to establish your business in the early years. And if you want to plan for the long term, your business banker can help you reach the goals you've set yourself. So if you'd like to find out how Barclays can help you with your business idea, call 0800 119 988. Barclays. It's our business to know your business.
Hooray!
Some telephone conversations may be recorded or monitored for training purposes.
At Gateway's new PC stores, one piece of software is particularly important. When we build a PC, it must be compatible with it. This software has a name. It's called You. We help you determine exactly what you want from a PC, so you're not only buying a Gateway PC complete with Intel Pentium 2 processors, you're also buying one that's custom-built for you. The new Gateway stores open this weekend at Bedford Street, Covent Garden, Bentall Shopping Centre, Kingston, and the Whitgift Centre, Croydon. Visit one. Let's talk about your Gateway.
LBC 1152.
4:15, the main story is there's relief for British business with the Bank of England cutting interest rates by a quarter of a percent to 7.25%. Homeowners will benefit too. Most major lenders have already reduced their mortgage rates. The London Conservative Euro MP James Morehouse has defected to the Liberal Democrats over the European single currency. Two other Tory MEPs have been given until later today to pledge their allegiance to the party or lose the whip. And sources in Russia say the four Surrey-based workers kidnapped in Chechnya at the weekend are alive and well. Their captors in the breakaway republic haven't yet contacted authorities with any demands. Jules Wilson has the travel. Jules, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Douglas. Well, still got problems on the A21 Bromley Road near Bellingham. It's closed both ways with a serious accident between Beckenham Hill Road and Southend Lane, and still heavy jams on the diversion routes. North Circular slow both ways past Henley's Corner. Bywood Street, eastbound queues there past the Tower of London and East Smithfield. That's heading onto the highway and through Wapping. More eastbound queues on the A200 Jamaica Road. That's busy between the St James's Road roundabout and the Rotherhithe Tunnel. And heavy eastbound on the A2 Deptford Broadway between Deptford and Blackheath Hill, heading towards Shooters Hill Road. On the Underground, delays are still running on the East London line. London Travel News, every 15 minutes at drive time on LBC 1152.
The word is Vodafone.
Exhilarating performance, luxurious features, innovative design, understated elegance. And that's just the Daily Telegraph. The BMW Z3 we're giving away is just as incredible. Starting this Saturday, collect 3 tokens and it could be yours. The Daily Telegraph, exhilarating sponsors of this month's British International Motor Show. No purchase necessary, details from Telegraph offices. Get the Daily Telegraph, the last word in motoring.
Consider the many different ways in which a data and video projector will prove invaluable to your business. It will bring the power of computers to your sales presentations, the moving image to your conferences, and crystal clarity to your training sessions. And that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Call the Data Projector Experts. Call Blue Chip Micro now on 0181 763 5000. 0181 763 5000. And project your business in a better light.
25 years.
This is LBC. And we'll certainly be reflecting the anniversary in the programme. But first of all, one of the big news stories of the day, interest rates came down, but only by a quarter of a percent. Not enough for many people, I suspect. Yesterday on Drive Time, at this time you may remember, I spoke on this subject to the General Secretary of the MSF Union, Roger Lyons, and to the Policy Advisor of the Institute of Directors, Ruth Lee. They both kindly agreed to come back and talk to me briefly today, and I want to get their verdict on the 0.25% cut. Roger Lyons, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, you did your best, didn't you, handing in that letter to the Bank of England with about 200 of your compatriots, but I wonder how disappointed you are today. You were looking for 1%, weren't you, cut?
Well, we know that manufacturing and indeed Britain needs a 1% cut, at least, because we're still the highest interest rate of any industrialized country in the world. But this is a move in the right direction. This is the first time that the Monetary Policy Committee have ever cut interest rates, and I hope they get the taste for it.
It's better than nothing, then. It will help in
some way. It will help because it will give an indicator that the interest rates are on their way down. But it, in itself, it won't cut the value of sterling to the 2.50 marks that exporters need, nor will it take the burden of high interest rates off companies that are borrowing for expansion, or really cut mortgage rates, which have been behind a lot of the inflation in recent months.
Do you feel, then, it is too little too late to save jobs or to put the brakes on what many people feel will be a recession?
Well, at the same time as there's international recession and the Asian, Russian and other problems, to have this additional burden on us, no other European country, just Britain, seems like shooting ourselves in the foot. And it will mean more jobs are lost than otherwise would happen. It will mean that companies will hold back before investing. We've got delicate talks taking place in Rover, for example, on the continuation of the BMW investment. We've had redundancies announced the last 24 hours in the tractor industry, electronics industry, and there's more in the pipeline. So what concerns me is whether the Monetary Policy Committee really understand the domestic problems and not alone the international one.
Do you feel, Roger, the damage has already been done?
Well, we have spent 6 months campaigning to both the government and the Bank of England, warning them that if they didn't start turning the oil tanker by reducing interest rates in the early summer, real damage, real cuts into the sinews of British manufacturing will have been under the bridge, so to speak, yes, by the autumn. It would be too late to recover in many sectors. We've had a Wedgwood factory closed. We had Royal Dalton closed. You can't replace those kind of quality skill workforces overnight.
No.
And I believe that there's far too much damage already done, and more could be done. The good news, if there is some in the 0.25%, is that it will give some relief to those people who are planning ahead.
Will you be down again next month, handing in another letter?
Well, that's one of our concerns, that how can you plan ahead if you're investing millions, if every month there's going to be will they, won't they,
yeah,
played out of the national game. It's almost like the sort of national lottery slot, isn't it?
Roger, thank you very much indeed. Roger Lyons, General Secretary of the MSF Union. Ruth Lee, I spoke to you yesterday. You'll be disappointed. Ruth, of course, policy advisor for the Institute of Directors. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, we were disappointed. We were actually hoping for a 0.5% cut, and of course we've got the 1%, so it's at the 0.25%, so at least it's half a loaf is better than none. And
yes,
I totally agree with nearly everything that Roger has said, if not absolutely everything. I would hope when they meet, the Monetary Policy Committee meet next month, that they would consider cutting interest rates again. We would very much like to see them down at the 6% mark over the next 6 months. And that's not a forecast, it's a hope rather than anything else. And I would totally agree with Roger when he says he doesn't feel that they really understand what is happening in the real economy. I think they've allowed themselves to be spooked by inflationary pressures that frankly are not there.
I mean, these people in the Monetary Policy Committee, it seems from what you and many other commentators say, Ruth, as if they've got no idea of everyday life, everyday working life.
Well, I'm afraid I think that most of them don't have. There is one exception. She just coincidentally, of course, happens to be another woman, dare I say it.
Yeah.
And she was at Shell and she was at British Airways. And she certainly knows how businesses work and the pressures that are on businesses. But I don't really like naming names, but there are at least a couple of people on the Monetary Policy Committee who are very, very academic. I think they must sit there looking at their wretched monetary policy models and play with residuals and, I don't know, heteroscedasticity and all that sort of nonsense. But they're not seriously looking at what is happening in the real world.
What was that you said there?
Heteroscedasticity.
Oh.
It's something in econometrics. I'm just showing off now. Completely economic.
Well, you baffled me, and I should think half our audience.
But I just have this image of them, because I was in this world myself at some point, where you sit there creating all these wonderful economic models using statistics that actually are not always terribly reliable, and saying, oh, well, that's what's happening in the economy. And you feel like saying, well, why don't you actually go out and see what is happening in the economy and get some real understanding of the problems that that Roger has, I think, very, very rightly just been discussing.
But it's better than nothing. You say half a loaf is better than
none. It is. And I would hope that they, as Roger, I think, has suggested, it's the sign that interest rates are now coming down. And the pound has come off, but this is partly to do with what's generally happening in the foreign exchange markets. And
yes.
I have a horrible feeling that if the dollar suddenly perked up again, the pound would go with it. So what we desperately need for British industry is some sustained period of a weaker pound.
Will you be carrying out your threat, perhaps, to join Roger on the line outside the steps of the Bank of England next month?
I'll think about it. I might have a word about
that. All right. Let us know if you're going to do it, because it'll be some story, and we'd love to feature it on Drive Time.
I think we should consider that.
Ruth Lee, thank you very much indeed.
Right,
Ruth Lee, Policy Advisor for the Institute of Directors. And, of course, Roger Lyons, General Secretary of the MSF Union. Now, I promised you that we wouldn't do all news today. We want to hear some of your comments on LBC as we celebrate our 25th birthday. And we'll hear from Yvonne of Brent Cross after this. It's 4:25.
25 years old today, Britain's first independent radio station. This is LBC.
Yvonne, you're on.
Hello, Douglas.
Hello.
First of all, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I listen to LBC all the time, right late into the night. And I enjoy it very much, especially your programs. I'd like to give you a memory.
Yes.
Do you remember playing the doctor in Emergency Ward 10?
Do I remember?
Playing doctor in Emergency Ward 10.
Oh,
John Brown and John Ollerton.
Me playing the doctor?
Yes.
No. When was that? Oh, yes, I do. It was a spoof we did, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Good gracious, you've got a better memory than I have. This is quite frightening, you know. People are going to come up with things, I hope to my advantage, that I've forgotten all about.
And I thought, well, I'm determined to let you know. And I was a very great fan of yours.
That's right. Well, yes, I did. We had a spoof, didn't we, of Emergency Ward 10.
That's right, yes.
Jill with the dear Jill Brown. Yes, indeed.
I don't know what year it was. I'm going back a long, long time.
Oh, I think it would be mid-70s, wouldn't it? Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. My goodness me. Any more recent memories that perhaps I can remember?
And it's a lovely program, and I enjoy your programs at all of LBC. And again, a very happy birthday.
Yvonne, thank you very much indeed. My goodness me. I thought that when people came on and reminded me of something that had happened, I'd have no difficulty in remembering. But I remember that, a spoof of Emergency Ward 10. It was great fun with all the stars. Nearest I've come to the stars, apart from working with Bob, of course, Doug from Edgware. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug. we used to nod 12 years ago when I was going... You were going in, I was going out. Worked in the Telegraph for a number of years.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you and Bob, when the paper was short, the Telegraph...
Yeah.
Used to say, Bob, well, we haven't sent it so-and-so today.
Yes.
Also remember going down the side of your building...
This is when we were in Gough Square, wasn't it? Just off Fleet Street, yes.
Going down the side of your building,
mm-hmm.
looking into the basement.
Yes.
And seeing your switchboard on the hexagonal stone, in the round, on the basement.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'll never forget them. I'll never forget them, yes.
Another occasion, I'm going out in the middle of the night, had some troubles outside. I bumped into Adrian Love.
Oh, yes, one of our late night presenters of yesteryear.
Very, very happy with that night. Somebody had done a paper sculpture of him.
Yeah.
And he was so proud to show it to me.
Doug, thank you very much indeed for your memories of LBC. We're collecting memories of LBC today on this very special day because if you haven't heard the news, you haven't been listening. We're 25 years old today. 28 minutes past four.
Hi, I'm Dominic Allen. 25 years ago, Wimbledon were in the Southern League and the Dons for Division 4 campaign hadn't even started. The knives were outfitter Alf Ramsey, and Ray Illingworth had been sacked as captain after an innings defeat at Lord's. Jackie Stewart retired at the top, and Muhammad Ali was shortly to return from exile to prove he was the greatest. LBC Sport, the best team in town.
If you're a director but not a member of the Institute of Directors, so many doors are closed to you. Imagine a network of 50,000 directors. Free legal and financial advice and business information. Lobbying strength. All kinds of preferential rates. An exclusive club in London's Pall Mall. Why shut out so much when membership costs so little? Call the IOD on 0171 766 8888.
If you thought you couldn't afford wood flooring, you're in for a very pleasant surprise. Because at Floors of London, they promise that if you can find a comparable wood floor for less than their price, they'll refund double the difference. See details in the showroom. Wicander's wood laminate flooring, normally £37, is now just £19.98 a square metre. For design and estimates, call into the Floors of London showroom, open 7 days on the North Circular at Chingford. Call 0800 214 022.
This is an announcement for all those people who rang the special number in The Telegraph and instantly got up to 60% off scheduled return flights with Lufthansa. Your flights to New York, Dubai, Istanbul, and 80 other global destinations are now boarding. For those of you who didn't, here's a violin sonata.
Don't miss the flight. Catch the Daily Telegraph on Saturday and the Sunday Telegraph. See paper for terms and conditions.
At Stephen James, we're offering 80 of the finest BMW-approved used cars. 18 BMW 3 Series coupes from just $15,995 and 26 3 Series saloons from $11,495. Plus, 7 compacts from just $13,995. With tailor-made finance packages and superb customer care, Stephen James is the choice of London. For approved used BMWs, at Stephen James, peace of mind becomes automatic. Stephen James BMW, London Road, Enfield. James, the 0181 367 2626.
Big, enormous, giant, humongous, quite fantastic, just terrific, great Thorpe Park. Yes, great, whatever the weather.
LBC 1152 News.
It's 4:30. Good afternoon. I'm Chandrika Chevli. London's small businesses have given a cautious welcome to the cut in interest rates, but say it's still not enough. They're down by 0.25%. Martin Barnett of Marylebone is an exporter of English-made furniture.
We've spoken to America this morning, and they said, well, we expect your prices to go down now, right, because the interest rates have gone down, and we hope you can meet something, right? There is a demand for our goods, but there's a price they're prepared to pay for it. And if the money's going to be expensive, we still can't get to the price. At least the government is listening to what we're saying, and at least the customers who are buying from us realize that the prices are going to come down and they're prepared to invest in English merchandise.
Tory leader William Hague's addressing his party's conference in Bournemouth. In his keynote speech, he's told delegates they have a lot of work to do to regain the confidence of voters. Mr. Hague's warning them of a long road ahead.
It hasn't all been plain sailing since the election, and I never expected it would be after such a heavy defeat. We've made real substantial progress this last year, but I've never pretended to you that the road ahead for our party was anything other than long and difficult.
Meanwhile, Tory MEP James Morehouse has defected to the Liberal Democrats. Mr. Morehouse, MEP for London South and Surrey East, has said he's leaving over the European single currency. He's criticised William Hague's Eurosceptic stance as being hostile to Europe. There have been more tough words, but still no action over Kosovo. Tony Blair's warning Western leaders there must be no backing down in the face of Serbian defiance. It comes as foreign ministers prepare to meet for talks at a summit in London. A Surrey company's welcomed news that four of its employees taken hostage in Chechnya are alive and well. Sources in Russia say the three Britons and a New Zealander are safe. They say their captors haven't yet contacted authorities. LBC Sport, and in football, West Ham midfielder Ayle Berkovic says he won't be pressing charges against teammate John Hartson, despite video evidence showing Hartson kicking him in the head. Berkovic is currently with the Israeli national team preparing for a European Championship qualifier in San Marino and has told Israeli radio he won't be taking Hartson to court. Meanwhile, Leeds caretaker boss David O'Leary is set to link up again with George Graham at Tottenham after being passed over for the full-time job at Leeds. O'Leary has been offered the post of assistant manager at Spurs after being approached by Graham more than a week ago. The Irishman has been caretaker since Graham moved to White Hart Lane last week. And there's more LBC Sport in half an hour.
LBC Sport with Moss Bros. Formal wear hire guaranteeing the best results.
LBC City News, and a short time ago, the FTSE was down 140 points at 46.88. LBC weather for London. Tonight, any drizzle will die away to leave a mostly dry but chilly night. It'll be cloudy for much of the time with a sharp northerly wind. The minimum temperatures in central London, 9 degrees Celsius, 48 Fahrenheit, 6 degrees Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit out of town. Tomorrow, it'll be much better than recently, dry, bright and cheerful with just thin high cloud and plenty of hazy sunshine. The maximum temperatures in central London, 17 degrees Celsius, 63 Fahrenheit, 16 degrees Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit out of town.
LBC weather with Great Thorpe Park. Great, whatever the weather.
LBC 1152 News at 4:34.
LBC Travel.
I'm Jules Wilson at AA Vodafone Roadwatch. Problems on the M25. It's closed anti-clockwise at the Clackett Lane services. That's because of an overturned lorry and a resulting chemical spill. Drivers are being asked to close their windows. Tailbacks now to Junction 6 for Godstone. That's joining rush hour delays from Junction 7 for the M23. Also in Surrey at Hawley Town Centre, an incident means diversions in westbound on Consort Way onto Albert Way. That's all because of collapsed scaffolding. And there's a serious accident on the A21 Bromley Road near Bellingham. That's still closed northbound between Beckenham Hill Road and Southend Lane. Heavy jams now on the diversion route. North Circular, queuing both ways past Henley's Corner. Busy eastbound on the Victoria Embankment from Northumberland Avenue to Blackfriars Underpass. More eastbound queues on Bywood Street. That's past the Tower of London and East Smithfield, heading onto the highway and through Wapping. Eastbound A200 Jamaica Road, busy between the St James's Road roundabout and the Rotherhithe Tunnel. And more eastbound jams on the A2 Deptford Broadway, that's between Deptford and Blackheath Hill, heading towards Shooters Hill Road. And on the Underground, delays are running on the East London line. London Travel News, every 15 minutes at drive time on LBC 1152.
The word is Vodafone.
If you've ever spent a Saturday night arranging your sock drawer, ever wondered how they got those model ships into those bottles, or ever seen a pair of shoes and thought they look comfy, then you've probably never done this.
Oh, yes, the Fiesta Z-Tech uses Formula One technology and comes with self-correcting rear suspension, power steering and a 16-valve engine to create unbelievable driving dynamics. Not only that, but Z-Techs now come with 0% finance, which all adds up to enough excitement for anyone.
The Fiesta Z-Tech. Advanced enjoyment for 9450 on the road.
Subject to availability, minimum deposit 50%, written quotations, free post FCE Bank PLC. Finance subject to status, guarantees and indemnities may be required.
25 years. This is LBC, where news comes first.
Takes you back, doesn't it? Well, it takes me back, and I'm judging by some of your phone calls, I think it takes you back as well. Anyway, it's 23 minutes to 5 on this, our 25th anniversary. Now, how's this for a choice of words? Every day, I think about dying, about disease, starvation, violence, terrorism, war, and the end of the world. It helps keep my mind off things. Well, that was written by that wonderful man of letters, Roger McGough, in 1937. 60 years on, it could still be appropriate, couldn't it? That, indeed, is the Scantlebury Richardson poem of the day. Mark and David, my producers, picked that one. But, indeed, everyone should have one today, because it's National Poetry Day. In a moment, I'll be speaking to the man behind the whole idea, William Seagard. But first, LBC's Giles Brandreth, that master of words, with his favourite poem.
Not only am I a great enthusiast for poetry, I even claim to have written the shortest poem in the history of world literature. What happened was this, that we have lots of pets at home. We have a mongrel dog, thinks he's called Down Boy, and a very sophisticated French poodle called Fido, spelled P-H-Y-D-A-U-X. And we used to have a goldfish called Spot, who unfortunately was eaten by the cat, who's called Oscar, because he's wild. And Oscar ate Spot the goldfish, and I wrote this poem. It's the shortest poem in the history of world literature, and I'd like to perform it today for us here on LBC on National Poetry Day. This is a unique event. It's a moment in broadcasting history, and it is the shortest poem ever written. And it was written, really, for the memorial service that we held for Spot. We couldn't have a funeral because, you know, there were no mortal remains. Otherwise, we'd have laid out the fish on a bit of toast and buried him in the garden. But we couldn't do that. So, because he disappeared completely inside Oscar the cat. So we could only have, really, a memorial meeting. And we gathered in the garden, and I recited this poem. It's called Ode to a Late Lamented Goldfish, and it's written by me, Giles Brandreth. Ode to a Late Lamented Goldfish. Shortest poem ever written. Here it is. Oh, wet pet. There you are. That's it. And I've written another one, especially for Douglas, and it goes like this. Douglas, don't worry if your job is small and your rewards are few. Remember that the mighty oak was once a nut like you.
I told you he was a master of words. I could listen to him all day. And indeed, you can listen to him for 3 hours with a little bit of music as well between 7 and 10 every Saturday evening on this radio station, LBC 1152, the Giles Brandreth Show, 7 till 10. And then, of course, we've got Eric Hall between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. How's that for a contrast in styles? Oh, both, of course, highly entertaining. Anyway, 20 to 5, I digress. We're talking about National Poetry Day, and the man behind the whole idea is William Seagard, who joins me now. William, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Did you hear that poem by Giles?
I did. It was very, very stylish, wasn't
it? He's tremendous fun, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now, National Poetry Day, tell me, how long has it been running?
Well, this is the fifth year, would you believe?
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, when I first set it up, I didn't imagine it to be an annual event, but the first one went so well, and everyone started ringing up immediately and saying, what date is it next year, that we've been carrying on an annual basis ever since.
Now, what actually happens?
Well, hundreds of things happen. I think National Poetry Day is itself just, a, you know, obviously a name for a day, and it's really an enabling thing to encourage people all over the country to get poetic. So you'll find in most schools across the country, most kids coming home from school today will have been involved in poetry in one form or another, written a poem, read a poem, or learnt a poem. But also all over Britain, today and during this week, there are hundreds of poetic events in most towns and cities, ranging from events in bookshops and libraries to rather more obscure ones, people abseiling down buildings reading poems, or in Scotland you can't get out of a supermarket today without having a poem put into your food carrier bag.
Yes. Do you feel that poetry has lost its highbrow image? I suppose with days like yours, it probably has now.
We're trying very hard. I think its highbrow image is in a way its biggest weakness, because I have a feeling that poetry is not only very popular, but it's also all around us. It's just that people don't really notice it. You know, it's in greetings cards. It's on the football terraces on a Saturday afternoon, and it's you know, in the lyrics of popular songs. And so, what I'm trying to do is to encourage people to be less embarrassed about it, feel that they can read poetry aloud and write it as well, because I think it's a very, very healthy thing. It's good for you.
Do you feel we've all got a poem or two inside us?
Oh, absolutely. And you'll find that We did a poll a couple of years ago. We found half of the adults in Britain claimed to have written a poem in their adult life. So it's a very popular art form. You wouldn't find half of Britain claiming to have painted a painting or composed a piece of music.
Now, I'm going to ask you for your favourite poem. You could see that coming, couldn't you?
Luckily, my favourite poem is so long that I couldn't possibly read it to you tonight. But I have got a little poem here. Mm-hmm. Last night we gave the Forward Poetry Prizes, which are the biggest prizes for poetry in Britain. And one of the shortlisted poets who wasn't the poet laureate who won, Ted Hughes, is a lady called Anne Sansom. And here's a little poem that she's written from her book that's out at the moment. And it's about an answering machine, and it's called Voice.
Okay.
Call by all means, but just once don't use the broken heart again voice. That I'm sick to death of life and women and romance voice. But with a little help I try to struggle on voice. Spare me the promise and the curse voice. The answer phony, call me please when you get in voice. The nobody knows the trouble I've seen voice. The I'd value your advice voice. I want the how it was voice. The call me irresponsible but aren't I nice voice. The such a be, but I warn them in advance voice. That we all have weaknesses, and mine is being wicked voice. The life short and wasting time's the only vice voice. The stay in touch, but out of reach voice. I want to hear the things it's better not to broach voice. The things it's wiser not to voice voice.
Beautifully read. William, thank you. William Seagard, founder of National Poetry Day. If you have a poem, perhaps a little shorter than that, because we expect a few people to ring in, maybe a verse, do give me a ring now on 412-1152 and try and beat Charles Brandreth or William Seagard. Whether you can or not, I'd love to hear your rhyme or poem or limerick. 412-1152. We all have a poem inside us, so show me that you have. 16 minutes to 5.
Steve Allen.
Fantastic.
Mornings at 10.
I'm just glad I'm old enough to read.
Steve Allen.
Sanctimonious people that phone up and say, I'd rather read about the balance of payments and the world recession. Stuff them.
At 10.
Kind of summed it up. You got the right feelings there, Monica. You were used, you were disposed of, and you certainly are insignificant.
Steve Allen. Mornings at 10. In just a few hundred days, a few thousand hours, the new millennium will be here. Midnight, New Year's Eve, 1999. Imagine what you'll be doing, as quite possibly your fax, photocopier, alarm system, security system, and your computers fail. As the government warns, the time to get your business ready for the bug is now. For as little as £29.95 plus VAT, Fix 2000 will give you peace of mind, security, confidence. £29.95 plus VAT guaranteed. Directors, accountants, IT managers, stamp out the bug with Fix 2000 from £29.95 plus VAT. For details, free phone 0800 026 0970. 026 0970. The dealership that brings you everything Mercedes-Benz. Watford 242-243.
Supersonic travel. The internet. Organ transplants. The achievements of science and technology are all around us. Some are so small they pass us by. For example, how many of you know that the main cause of dandruff was discovered to be a yeast and that we can now treat it specifically with Nizoral Dandruff Shampoo? Containing ketoconazole.
Nizoral Dandruff Shampoo, a product of scientific endeavor.
Ask at your pharmacy counter and always read the label.
There's a new highway that will bring the power of digital communication to your home or office. So you needn't wait as long for your computer to download, because you can send and receive information even faster than the fastest modem. Or wait till you've finished a phone call to use your fax machine, because it allows you to do two things at once. It's called BT Highway, and it does all this simply through your existing phone line. So, to stop the worldwide wait, get on the BT Highway. Call us now on 0800 800 845.
BT Highways available on most BT exchanges and is subject to survey.
LBC 1152.
The latest headlines, there's some small relief for business with the Bank of England cutting interest rates today by a quarter of 1% to 7.25. Homeowners will benefit too. Most major lenders have already reduced their mortgage rates. The London Conservative Euro MP James Morehouse has defected to the Lib Dems over the European single currency. And sources in Russia say the four Surrey-based workers kidnapped in Chechnya at the weekend are alive and well, but their captors haven't yet made any demands for them. Jules Wilson has the travel.
Problems on the M25 at the Clackett Lane services. The service area fuel stations closed on the anti-clockwise stretch following a chemical spillage. Delays now from Junction 6 for Godston, and drivers are asked to close their windows. Also, Junction 12 for the M3, a broken down vehicle anti-clockwise, causing tailbacks to Junction 13. A21 Bromley Road reopened northbound between Beckenham Hill Road and Southend. That's following a serious accident. And through Poplar, Cotton Street's down to one lane northbound after an accident. Tailbacks now to Preston's Road and Aspen Way. On the Underground, there's delays on the East London line. London Travel News, every 15 minutes at drive time on LBC 1152.
The word is Vodafone.
If you've ever spent a Saturday night arranging your sock drawer, ever wondered how they got those model ships into those bottles, or ever seen a pair of shoes and thought they look comfy, then you've probably never done this.
Oh, yes, the Fiesta Z-Tech uses Formula One technology and comes with self-correcting rear suspension, power steering and a 16-valve engine to create unbelievable driving dynamics. Not only that, but Z-Techs now come with 0% finance, which all adds up to enough excitement for anyone.
The Fiesta Z-Tech. Advanced enjoyment for 9450 on the road.
Subject to availability, minimum deposit 50%, written quotations, free post FCE Bank PLC. Finance subject to status, guarantees and indemnities may be required.
25 years old today, Britain's first independent radio station. This is LBC.
Thank you, Bershey. 11 minutes to 5 is the time. Yes, it was on October the 8th, 1973, that this radio station first hit the airwaves, the first legal commercial station in Britain to do so. Well, I've been fortunate enough to have been with LBC for 24 and a half of those 25 years, 10 of which were among the happiest of my broadcasting life, the time when I did the AM breakfast programme with Bob Holness. Now, Bob couldn't be with us to share LBC's big day today. He's on a business trip to America. But he did pop into the Drive Time studio earlier in the week, and this is what transpired. Well, Bob, welcome back to LBC, if only for 10 minutes or so. You came down to earth, quite literally, didn't you, when you and I teamed up in 1975 for the AM programme?
Was it 75?
Yeah.
Good heavens, I thought it was earlier than that.
No, 75?
Yes, right, 74 when I came in, and they asked me whether I would go down into the dungeon, and I said I'd rather not, and they said, well, will you help inaugurate the first helicopter traffic service?
That's right.
And I did that for 8 months. It was great fun. They were building the National Theatre, and I remember taking a camera up and leaning out and taking pictures of it from the top. Great fun, but we had the clockwork telephones, didn't we? We actually got through, I don't know how, no digital stuff then.
Oh, no.
We had these incredible radios where you could just about hear and fed live into the program. I'll tell you the greatest thing was in a helicopter at that time, when you were outside the perimeter in the East End of London, for instance, you could actually hover and watch what was going on. Everybody else had after that had flying eyes and things, but we had the helicopter, and it was a great advantage.
Now, you were doing a Drive Time show as well, weren't you? The sort of show that we're talking on now.
Mm.
And I remember having a conversation with the then boss of LBC, a fellow called Marshall Stewart, and he said, Doug, he said, I'm very worried. He said, the presenters that you're doing the morning with are falling somewhat short of my expectations. He said, do you think we could perhaps give Bob a little try? I think he'll do very well. I said, the problem is 6 o'clock start. You know, you don't want to bring a man of that artistry.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going to say age.
At 6 o'clock. I said, a stars can't get up at six.
Didn't bother me.
It didn't. No. We started you at 7, do you remember?
Mm.
And then Marshall being Marshall, he put it to 7:15, yes. And then you came in at 6:30, and then he said, what about 6, Bob?
Yes.
And you started at 6 after
that. That's right, I started at 6, yes. I was in the office, working on what was coming up, seeing what had gone overnight, much, much earlier than that. But I managed to delay coming in as long as I could, so that you could carry half the programme. Well, it actually worked for a while, but not that long. I got up at 3:30 in the morning for 10 years.
I know you did.
I didn't mind. It was the evening. I used to go zonk in the afternoon, you know, fall asleep in the middle of things.
Yes.
And Mary didn't like it. My wife didn't like
it. No, that's true.
It ruins your social life. You must know that.
Middle of the first act, and you went. Well, we were very lucky, I think. We got on very well, both professionally and socially. And I know when Mike Aspel did you on This Is Your Life, and they were kind enough to ask me along to that, and Mike Aspel said to me, I don't know if you remember, he said, how do you and Bob manage to get on so well? And I said, well, I have always agreed with everything he said. It wasn't strictly true, but we did get on very, very... Chemistry is all important, isn't it?
Yes, it was. Desperately important. In fact, it was one of those things that happens that you don't actually plan. You work with somebody, you hope it's going to work, and it did click to the extent that when we got well into it, we almost knew what the other one was going to say before they did.
Yes.
We knew what they were thinking, and we knew our place in the programme, didn't we? And
well,
we,
I certainly knew my place, Bob.
Well, just as well. I didn't think you'd learned by now. You must have done. Yes, no, it was great, and it worked, and it noticed in that there was levity as well as the seriousness. Now, where any drama occurred, you were the voice that did it. You were the man who came in and said, there's been a bomb, or there's been a death, and that sort of thing, and we occasionally got round it, but if there's any light stuff, then I nipped in with a wine spot and all that sort of
Absolutely, yeah. And that was reflected, wasn't it? Mm. Bringing not only information, but interest and entertainment to the good people of London and the South East by the three awards. We got a programme award. Do you remember when we were presented with our award, or just about presented with our award, by Harold Wilson?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Never to be forgotten.
No, he had enjoyed a convivial evening.
Yes,
let's
had.
Put it like that. And as he came towards us with the statuette, he veered to the right and missed both of us.
Yes, he did.
And then had to turn at the other side of the stage and come back again.
And that wasn't helped by the fact that he had no idea who we were.
In common with most of the audience. And then, of course, the two Variety Club of Great Britain Awards. They were wonderful.
They were great.
They were absolutely. Yes. And
very
I think
gently.
It did show. They were the first ever Showbiz Awards awarded to a news presenter or presenters, and it showed what we were about, as you just said.
Yes, we got them on not successive years, but there was a year in between them. We got one
that's
the
right.
following year.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Good. That's right. Well, at that time, of course, the programme was attracting more listeners in the London area than the Today programme on Radio 4.
You remember that happening? We came up with the news. The memory fuzzes over because it was quite a while ago, but I got an idea we popped a bottle on that particular
I think
bottle.
We did.
Yes,
I
we
think
did.
We did.
You're very proud of it.
And it was £16.50 in those days, and we said we'd go halves, but don't worry.
No. I've forgotten all about it. I'm so sorry. I'll go write you a cheque.
One of the great things was, of course, we had a great supporting cast. We had our sports reporter, Dominic Allen.
Oh, yes, old Dominic.
Who never was deviated at all from the sport,
good
was
broadcaster,
he?
Though.
Very good broadcaster. And one day we got a letter from a child saying, can Bob and Doug tell us, does Santa Claus sleep with his beard inside or outside the sheets? So we thought we'd put this to Dominic.
Yes, well, it must be told that Dominic, in vision, had a fairly sizable beard.
Yes.
He kept this beard for some time because he didn't have much of a chin underneath. But Dominic himself was an absolute stickler. If he was going to do sport, he was going to do sport.
Yeah.
And we handed over to him, remind me how it happened.
Well, we said, Dominic, you've got a beard. He said, And we said, this child, can you throw any light on this? Does Santa Claus sleep with his beard inside or outside the sheets? To which he said, I've no idea. No, last night's football results.
Exactly. Wasn't that he didn't have a sense of humour?
Oh, no.
But he knew when to apply it and when not to.
And Colin Turner, of course.
Oh, yes.
Who went down in history as tipping the most ever winners in a year.
That's right, he did, yes. And he was very good at his job, and he also had a lot to do with that. He knew the people who were behind the stealing of that horse.
Oh, yes, Shergar.
Shergar, that's right. He wrote a book about it.
He did indeed, he did indeed. But there were the news items, weren't there? The Borkum Street Siege?
Yes, absolutely.
John Lennon dying.
John Lennon and the Pope dying suddenly, yes. And quite unexpectedly. I tell you the great thing, and I remember this very, very clearly. The producer, the young lady who was producing on that particular morning, dialed the Vatican when that happened, and she dialed and dialed and dialed and dialed, and she finally got through, and got through to somebody who could speak perfect English.
Yes.
And we got the red-hot news that it had happened. Everything else went out of the window that we planned, and the rest of the programme was taken up, in the same way as the John Lennon stuff was.
Yep.
Everything else went out. Flexibility, that's what we
had. And the Brighton bombing, of course. Three o'clock in the morning that took place, yep. And again the whole programme was
changed. And of course, who was the reporter at that? John Snow.
John Snow, indeed, yeah. Indeed. And the Falklands War with Messrs. David Spanier and Paul Maurice.
Gosh, yes. And we got live reports, of course, and then we got the summaries from Paul. It was... David Spanier did the diplomatic
side, editor, and right. Paul Maurice was the defence, and of course, one chap who really did a tremendous job for LBC was Kim Sabido, and I'll be talking to him later in the programme.
Oh, really? I didn't know Kim was still around. Give him my regards.
I will indeed. I want to just ask you, finally, what memories do you take away from your 10 years at LBC?
I tell you what, they were very happy memories. It didn't worry me getting up early in the morning, as I said, and I went in full of enthusiasm, which waned a bit when we found that the overnight reporter had been taken ill, the producer, and we had a tray void of any tapes, and we had to make it up as we went along.
Yes.
That happened in the early days.
Yeah.
Not too often, happily, but the thing was that you never quite knew what was going to happen. It was the unexpected. You finished one day, you went out at lunchtime or whenever, thinking, well, that was that. The following day, whatever happened, you were unaware of until you got to the studios, and then you suddenly came in with this wonderful stuff. And it was a complete mix, and the fact that we never rehearsed anything, it was all on the top of the head, and it worked, was the most satisfying thing, I think, in my career. They were the 10 happiest years I think I've had.
Bob Holness, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug.
This marvelous mix. Bumpin' Chicago House, broad brush strokes of radical black wax, abstract astral sound webs of screeching, pumping, spatial trance. Truly a musical masterpiece from the house of Hewlett-Packard and their new CD writer. A rather wonderful way to mix music, words and pictures onto your own CDs. All for less than £300 from your local PC World or leading dealer. The HP CD Writer Plus, for people who just love to create.
Complete perfection. Pure luxury. Sheer power. Real style. Absolute driving pleasure.
Will you stop this? People are looking. It's just a car, for goodness sake.
Just a car? Just a car? This is a Jaguar XJ Sport 3.2. Just a car? That's like saying the Venus de Milo is just a statue, or the Mona Lisa is just a drawing. Just a car?
Oops. Call 0800 70 80 60 now for details of your nearest Jaguar dealership. You'll find that from just £299 a month for business users, the Jaguar XJ Sport 3.2 is just the car for you.
Wild, wicked, wet, wet, wet. Sure is that. So much more for you to do, you'll have to come back to the one and only, even greater, Great Thorpe Park. Great, whatever the weather.
Today, LBC 1152 celebrates its 25th anniversary.
1973.
My name is David Jessel.
Throughout the day, we'll be rewinding 25 years of history.
The former Beatle John Lennon has been shot dead.
The only thing they ought to do is to get off that island.
Quick! Come to me! There have just been three explosions which have ripped through the embassy building.
Meeting presenters, past and present.
We were just so ahead of the game where everyone else was concerned. The famous incident involving Gorbachev.
And the Pope dying suddenly, yes. And quite unexpectedly. I think it's a great thing, and I remember...
And at 9 o'clock, a special documentary celebrating 25 years of LBC.
The story begins in 1973.
LBC 1152, celebrating 25 years of commercial radio.
Complete news and information for London.
11:52 a.m. This is LBC.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Chandrika Chevli. Interest rates have fallen by 0.25%. The new base rate now stands at 7.25%. It's the first drop for 2 years. Businesses and unions have been clamouring for a cut in order to make British firms more competitive and save thousands of jobs. Personal finance expert Anne Ashworth says not everyone will benefit.
It's pretty poor news for the large number of people who rely on good rates in their savings to supplement very poor pensions. And of course,